I'm just so thrilled to be here. I'm so thrilled that you're here. And as Barney mentioned in his prayer at one point, you know, we're here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. And I wanted to just explain to you, I guess, why I'm here. And that is so that we can have mutual encouragement together. And that encouragement is to live in the presence of God, to come to know Him more, and to come to know and understand His love for us, so that we, as a result of that, can trust Him more. And as we trust Him more, then we walk in freedom. Now, the freedom to be who He's made us to be because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. And that we can be free from just the trappings of our own mental process. We can lift our thoughts up to God and live in that realm where there's love and there's peace and there's encouragement. And then we can encourage each other. That's the way I look at it. So I'm blessed to be here. And, you know, at times like these, when I'm preparing to be in a situation like this, I realize that I am not a great biblical scholar or anything like that. You know, I've learned a few principles on how to go to the Word. But really the bottom line is, for all of us, we go into that presence of God, you know, go to God, go to His Word, and then He is the one who enlightens the eyes of our understanding. Isn't that just so simple? So the topic I want to share today is about our thoughts. And I just wanted to ask you, do your thoughts ever affect you? They ever affect how you feel, or maybe how you respond or react in a situation? No, it's a very important thing. Because our thoughts, I mean, you just think about it. They can cause us to be delighted or depressed, you know, happy or sad, comforted or confused. You know, you could go on and on. Right here between this ear and this ear over here, there's a lot that goes on. It can cause rejoicing or it can cause bitterness. You know, we have a choice what we want to let our thoughts settle upon and then develop and thrive, flourish, whatever. Sometimes I think about, you ever heard that term, entertaining thoughts? You know, am I going to entertain that thought? You know, do you ever entertain? Have you ever entertained? You know, it's like if you're going to entertain a person, you know, you say, well, come on in. You know, they come to the door, come on in. You know, make yourself comfortable here. Have the best seat in the house. Would you like something to drink? Something to eat? Why don't you stay a while? In fact, why don't you spend the night? Move in, right? Okay, so let's just be careful the thoughts that we entertain. We have the Word of life. And the words that as we put them on in our minds and we entertain them and we allow them to be there to settle in and develop, then we have life and we can give life and we can give life-giving, healing, wonderful, encouraging words that will help us to be and stay in the presence of the Father. I want us to turn to 2 Chronicles 32 this morning. And the reason is, it's about this word that I came across in my quest here to be prepared as I'm standing here before you today. And as I mentioned, I don't really consider myself a real accomplished biblical scholar, but I sometimes use this free site on the internet. It's called the Blue Letter Bible. Maybe you've heard of it. And I discovered something really neat because I was looking at this Hebrew word and I thought, how do you pronounce that? And there's a little button. You click on the button and it actually pronounces it for you. This is really an aside. This is more information they need to know. But this word that I came across is pronounced Samach. And I would have never known that if I hadn't pushed that button. What it is, okay, aside from that, here it is. Here's the heart of it. This word means to place or to lay something upon something else so that it may rest upon and be supported by something, right? Like my hand, I'm resting it upon this. It's supported by it. It's upheld by it. I can lean on it, right? So you get the idea that this word means to, it's to rest upon something. It can also be to be in established. Okay, so in 2 Chronicles, and this section is about a king named Hezekiah. And I'm not going to teach about Hezekiah, but I just want to show you how this word is used in this particular situation. Hezekiah was the king of Judah in Jerusalem, and what was happening is they were about to be attacked by the king of Assyria, who was approaching them with this mighty army. And this would be, as you can imagine, if you were in that situation, very alarming. Big, gigantic army coming just to destroy. So what Hezekiah was doing, he was preparing for war. And he was trusting God. So in verse 6, it says, he set captains of war over the people. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles 32. And in verse 6, Hezekiah, he set captains of war over the people, and he gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and he spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. And he wasn't necessarily talking about numbers of soldiers, because he was looking to God. Verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. See, first of all, he spake comfortably to them, meaning he spoke with understanding to their hearts. And what they did as a result, right, because of him speaking to their hearts with those words of peace, they rested themselves upon his words. Okay, and that is this word I was just sharing about how you lay something upon something so that it's resting, it's settled, it's being upheld by something. Now let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 26. See, one of the reasons that they were able to rest upon his words is that they received those words into their minds. They leaned upon those words. They were established. They were upheld. They were supported by those words. Now look in Isaiah 26. This is a familiar verse, I think, to most of us. Verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In verse 3, I've heard that verse many times. I've thought about it. I've thought about what does it mean to stay your mind. You know, and I've thought, well, okay, I'm going to stay my mind on God. How do I do that? Okay. God, 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 God. Well, no. You know, it's not just a matter of controlling your thinking. Because that word stayed, whose mind is stayed on thee, it's that same word where it's, my mind is rested on God. My mind is established. My mind is being upheld and supported. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So our thoughts can be resting upon God, who will then strengthen us and give us courage and give us peace. See, he will keep us in peace, guarding us, protecting us from danger, from alarm, you know, in whatever situation you might find yourself where you're maybe blindsided. You're struck by sudden fear that you didn't see coming. See, staying our minds on God, where we're resting our thoughts upon him, it's part of that relationship that Barney mentioned. That's what this is about. In order to have that kind of process where you are being settled and comforted and encouraged and held up, it requires the development of a relationship with God. And that's, it's really the joy of living. It's what God has called us to, right? I mean, think of everything Jesus Christ went through in his obedience to God and everything he endured because with, you know, the goal in mind for the joy that was set before him, he did what he did. We now have entrance to walk right into the presence of God at any time, right now, all day long, and have access to that perfect peace that is guarding our hearts, that is protecting us, that is uplifting us. That's what it's about. You Philippians 4:7, right? The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That keeping, again, is like it's like being guarded by a battalion of Marines or something, right? Would you have anything to fear if physically you were being guarded by a battalion of Marines? No. And it's like that in our minds. When those thoughts maybe start to come at us, or you know, you're in a circumstance that's alarming or challenging, what we don't want to do is look to our own reasoning. Where do you ever get into that thing where, oh boy, okay, here's this situation. I've got to really figure this out. I'm going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm going to develop it. I'm going to analyze it. I'm going to think about it. You may not even go through that process. You may not realize that's what you're doing, but we need to recognize that, and we can. Because all that is reasoning. It's reasoning. It never ends well. It just doesn't. Until we turn our thoughts to God's Word. See, before, before Jesus Christ came and accomplished for us that great entrance into the presence of God, you know, they went to the temple, and very few of them went into the tabernacle, the presence. But where is that place now for us? How do we get there? You know, that quiet place? Does that mean that you have to, you know, go to a certain location where it's quiet, where there's no one else around, you've got a nice comfortable chair to sit in, got a cup of tea or whatever, you know? Don't wait for circumstances like that to be in the presence of God. Wherever you are, he is. And at any given time, you can take your thoughts and turn them to him. Father, what do I do? You know, doesn't he tell us over and over, I never leave you. I'm always there for you. I supply all of your needs. You're never alone. Okay, so at any moment, any given time, right here, right now, the rest of your day, the rest of every day, Father, what a beautiful day. Here's something, I want you to try this, okay? It's another great day. Go ahead, do it, really. Just pretend like you're stretching. Right, doesn't that just feel good? It's another great day, right? I'm stretching, okay? I'm not really lifting holy hand. I'm stretching. I mean, you know, until you get to that point where I don't care. It's a great day, God. Thank you. That's how we live. I mean, you know, we've talked about how the mind is the battlefield, you know? Right? The way I like to think about it is, my mind is where battles are won. It's not just that this battle is raging, but it's this place where I have the victory because of where I direct my thoughts, right? Well, you know, sometimes I'm in such a turmoil, I can't necessarily direct my own thoughts. Do you ever get like that? Where you're just like your niggers are in a twist and your mind's in a dither and your thoughts are just, okay, so what do I do? What do I do? Search your heart. Not, don't search your heart. Search God's heart, right? He has so freely given this to us. Let's look at Proverbs 16, okay? All right, you all know this one. Proverbs 16. Here's how you do it. Commit thy works unto the Lord, verse 3, and thy thoughts shall be established. When you commit something, right? Think about this. You're on top of a hill, big hill, gigantic boulder up there, right? And you get behind the boulder and you push it. And if you push it hard enough and long enough, eventually it's going to roll down the hill. Once that boulder starts rolling, it's committed. It's going down, right? Okay, so commit your thoughts. Just roll them over onto God. Commit your works. What are your works? You know, your actions, your activities, your endeavors, your goals, your actions, your deeds, the things that you do. You commit. Father, you know what? What would you like for me to do today? What do you have for me? You know, whatever I do, whatever it ends up being, I want to do it with you. And please help me to remember to talk to you, to check back in with you, to praise you, to thank you. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And you know, thoughts kind of come and go. Thoughts fleet in and out. They come from all kinds of different places. But the things that will be established are those things that we meditate upon, you know, that we consider, that we thoughtfully consider. And they will be established as we commit our works and our ways and our deeds unto Him. They will be stable. They will be secure. They will be a safe place for you to return to. Here's a situation. God, I'm starting to just really, what do I do? I recognize that feeling where I'm like, oh no. Oh yeah, okay, I remember now. I go back to that safe, secure, comforting, stable place in my mind. And those are thoughts of you, Father. Those are thoughts of your word. What do I think about? Because I'll tell you what, another way to think of your mind is like a garden. You know, things grow in a garden, right? If you neglect a garden, you're going to get weeds. I mean, seeds will just come floating along and just take root, and pretty soon, you know, you've got tall weeds that you've got to get in there and pull them out by the roots. Our minds will produce. They will. They're not just static. You know, they will produce. And what we want is, as we turn those thoughts to God and engage in that relationship, where it's not just me figuring all these things out, but it's God enlightening the eyes of my understanding. God does that, right? Then my mind, your mind, our minds will flourish like a fruitful garden. And then we really have something to give one another, right? Wouldn't I then have something to really encourage you with? If my thoughts aren't going, oh gosh, you know, complaining, critical, negative. I mean, it happens. The only one who's going to control that is our own selves. And we can appear to be thinking otherwise, you know. But come on. We, I mean, we have this incredible opportunity. We have this calling from God. Think about what we have. We have access to the presence of God, to live in Him, to live with Him, to live for Him. Jesus Christ said, I will come and make my abode with you. We will, the Father and I, will be with you. We have Holy Spirit. We have power. Why would we want to stay in that place that always takes us down that slippery slope? Well, we don't. You know, and that's why we're talking about this. In Colossians 3, and in verse 1, if or since ye then be risen with Christ, right? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, there are so many distractions and diversions in this world, just because of the nature of the situation that we're in right now, that will keep you. It's like it's not just necessarily going to embrace you. We need to seek those things that are above. And why wouldn't we? If we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ, right? Isn't that where our thoughts would flourish? Isn't that place where God is just working within us? It says to set your affection, in verse 2, on things above and not on things on the earth. To set our affection is to direct our thoughts. We direct our thoughts. Above where Christ sits, where we're seated. And be mindful. Reflect on those things. Meditate on those things. Seek that place. You know, it does take effort. But that's where we build that relationship with God. And that's where that awareness of His love for us develops. That's where that trust gets really established. Who wants to continue to be restrained by our own needs and our own agendas? You know, if you get to the point where you are so just in love with God and you know how much He loves you, there's never really a question. There are times where you have to go, Father, I need some help here. You know, this is something specific that I need, Father. And He's there to supply what we need. But, you know, it becomes, as you dwell in that relationship, it just becomes a place where that's where you go. You go to rejoice. You go to enjoy the presence of God. You go to praise Him. You know? And then it just happens. that is what pours out of your heart when you're with a stranger or you're with a brother or sister in Christ. That's what's there. And you know what? As we together live that way with one another, wow, that's where I want to be. Philippians 4, you know, it talks specifically about what to do with your thoughts. You know, this is not really that teaching that I'm doing right now, but I just wanted to remind you that it was there because it would be a really great thing to use as a gauge, you know. In Philippians 4, it says in verse 6 to be anxious for nothing, right? Be careful for nothing. Be distressed about nothing. Don't worry about anything. You can read all the different translations. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you're in his presence, ongoing, that's what will happen. It's like, oh, Father, you know, this is something I need your help with. And also, thank you for how you helped me with that other thing. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then finally, brethren, I mean, this makes sense. This isn't like it's something like, whoa, really? Look at this. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. See what God has called us to do with our minds. Think on those things. Let's look at Psalm 77. I just wanted to point out to you this situation that happened with a man named Asaph. And I believe it happens to all of us. Maybe has happened to you, hopefully happens less frequently. Maybe you know somebody this is happening to and you can tell them how to resolve it. This psalm is about a guy that he, as he expresses himself, you'll see that he was miserable as long as he kept looking within himself. Miserable. He was not pulling himself out of it by looking at his own misery. And sometimes, you know, we get these rambling thoughts in our heads where they just, one thing leads to another, and then you're on a roll and you're just rambling, rambling, rambling. I heard somebody this summer talk about living in your own head. And I thought, first of all, I thought, well, of course. I mean, who else's head would I be in, you know? But I really thought about it because I knew there was something to it. And it's a matter of, you know, is this your dwelling place? Your thoughts, your reasoning, your logic, your conclusions, your analysis, your, you know, on and on and on. Or do I want to live in the presence of God? Where that's where my thoughts are thriving. In Psalm 77, verse 1, he says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And I hope that that has never happened to you. I suspect maybe it has. I know it's happened to me a long time ago. I try not to get myself to that place. His soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. That is describing really the depths of despair. So troubled, he couldn't even speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. Ooh. And my spirit made diligent search. And here he goes. Will the Lord cast me off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Where is he? He said he'd always be with me. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? I thought the word said that was a promise. Why hasn't it happened? Where is he? Why aren't you doing something? You know, that does happen. You know, and I don't speak lightly of that, because I know there are situations, and maybe you're dealing with one now, you know, where you need something, and you know that you are looking to God, and you're doing your best to rest your thoughts on his thoughts, and you're seeking healing, or you're seeking answers, a solution. That's real. That's the reality of it. And we can deal with those things when we're together. You know, if you need healing, if you need to speak to someone who it's working in your heart, God is showing you where you can get encouragement, where you can get help, where you don't have to leave here today with a burden that you came in with. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. So make up your mind now. If there is something like that, you know, get it handled, get it taken care of here today, and then be free to move on. He said in verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Oh, what a question. There's times that I have forgotten to be gracious. Has God? No. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? No. Selah. And verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but. Now here's where it turned. See, we control our thoughts. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation like that where you're just in a mental tangle. You've somehow walked into a web, right? So, verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. And he goes on. Now you see how his thoughts turn from, where is God? Has he forgotten me? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Is he angry at me? To, oh, that's right. Our God is great. He does wonders. And as you see here in verse 11, first of all, he remembered the works of the Lord. You know, sometimes you might find yourself in a situation where you go, oh, that's right. Yesterday, God did that for me. You know, it happens. But God is right there to say, yes, I did that for you yesterday. And right now, I'm going to do this for you. I will meditate also of thy work. Meditate. Think about it. Let it be part of that garden that you have up here where you're cultivating, you're loving, you're living in his presence, and you're flourishing. And then you talk about it. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Sorry, verse 12. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. We remember God, we recognize him, we go into that place, we meditate on what he has done, not what we've done or what we failed to do. We meditate on what he has done, what he has promised, and we can have great, full expectation for him to do exactly what he said he's going to do. It's not difficult. He said he'd be with us. He said he'd take care of us. He'd meet all of our needs. He'd supply everything. He would bless us. He would heal us. He would give whatever we need. It's not difficult. So we recognize, we meditate, and we praise him. To him And then we talk about his great goodness to one another and to people out there, right? Stephen and Katie, you did that on your trip, right? Hey, we can do this when we walk out the door, go down to the beach. That's a great place. You'll be going to the beach. Just, hey, did you know? I was almost stopped this guy yesterday walking down the street. He looked just so sad, and he passed me so quickly. I just couldn't stop him. But I just wanted to say, what happened to you? Well, let me tell you, you can get to a place where you're loved, where you're helped, where you're rushing down this street and you have a smile on your face and you're running to tell someone else about it. It's right up here, okay? And you know what? Nobody has a right to put anything there that you don't want there. No person, no power, no circumstance, right? This is that place. Yes, battles happen, but battles are won here. This is that place where you're in God's presence, wherever you are. Is that exciting? It's about thought. So I wanted to share that with you today and encourage you to live in that place and turn your thoughts and the things that you speak in your own head to God and give him the praise and give him the glory and give him the thanksgiving. And he will continue to fill you with the encouragement, the love, the goodness, the inspiration. And then you will grow in that relationship and you will trust him. And then you will be even bolder in going into his presence. And you will be even more confident in saying, I am going to God with this. I need this healing. And I know I'm going to get it. And then you're free. You're freed from the waiting, the discouragement, the I got to figure it out. I've got to do something differently. What am I doing wrong? And then you're thriving. Hey, you know what? If you live that kind of life, do you think somebody somewhere might say to you, what is going on with you? And then you can tell them. So, Barney, I was wondering if you would come up here and just have a word of prayer.
Sure. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your watchful care over all of our lives and just the honesty that we can come before you with. We aren't really hiding anything from you anyway that you don't know. But just with the acknowledgement in our own lives that we're willing to actually say something about it is just so freeing many times. Thank you, Lord, for your care for us and your love for us in spite of us, and that we are worthy in your sight. There's actually nothing that can make us unworthy in your sight, Father, so sometimes just free us from the thought in our own mind that we've taken some type of action or we aren't taking some type of action that pleases you. And Lord, thank you for the liberty we have in Christ, and it's certainly about him and what he's done on our behalf to bring things to us. And that we can walk in the land, the promised land, where you are providing and giving and supplying every need. Lord, we also pray in regards to the ability to give here this morning, and for the gifts of our finances at this time for abundant sharing. And Lord, that these gifts may be stewarded, and be prayed about, and be thought about, they may be given to help others in the work that you called us to. Thank you, Lord, for your support and the way you continue to embrace us and remind us of your great love for us, and that we make up our minds, Lord, day by day to embrace the relationship. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
All right, gentlemen, whoever's going to...